Thanks, Joan, for coming. We're going to grab a stand for you. And I've had the opportunity and privilege to hear this once already, but it's always a blessing to hear it a second time. So, Joan, bless you.
Hi, my name is Joan Van Driessen, and it is only by the grace and mercy of God that I stand here today to share a little bit about my faith story. I grew up in a Christian home in southern Manitoba on a farm just east of Altona. English was my second language, and Low German was my first. So if any of you want me to speak Low German, just raise your hand and I'll speak Low German instead. Yeah? No, I think I'll go with English. My maiden name is Hildebrand, and so you can tell me after the service if we are related. The Croakers have already told me that we are fifth cousins, so it's great to have some close family here. So, I attended a one-room country school till grade 5, and then I continued school in Altona till grade 10. I accepted Jesus as my Savior at the age of 8, when an evangelist spoke in a small village my mom grew up in. He literally scared me into heaven and told me that I would go to hell if I didn't, sort of thing. My decision really became real with the challenge of non-Christian high school friends. I had to live out my faith then. I attended Steinbeck Bible College for grade 11 and 12 in a boarding school, so I left home very early. And during that time, I was baptized in Altona into the EMMC Church, which is Evangelical Mennonite Mission Church, long name, in grade 12. After high school, my desire was to attend University of Manitoba, but God wanted me to go to Winnipeg Bible College, now called Providence. I graduated there with a Bachelor of Religious Education. While at Providence, I was asked to work as a secretary to the Dean of Students at Trinity Western College. So I moved to BC for a year and there met my husband. We decided to move back to Manitoba to get married and for me to pursue my education for a home ec and a teaching degree. However, I never quite completed that because Rolf's job took us to Prince St. Albert in Saskatchewan. From here, we moved back to Trinity, where Rolf completed his degree, and by that time, I was pregnant. While at Trinity, I realized that life is such a God-given gift, and I am so thankful for that gift. We can choose to live it with God in faith or without God. Our oldest three children were born in Langley while Rolf was at Trinity. Our last year in Langley was a very difficult one, with times when I simply had to let Jesus intercede for me. Our daughter Alicia was born in January, and after 2 weeks, she just simply decided to stop breathing. God was there with us that day as a nurse next door, who happened to be off duty that day, performed CPR on her. She was back in the hospital for a week and came home with a heart monitor. My parents were visiting at the time, so that was a real godsend for us. 2 weeks later after that, Rolf had cancer, surgery, and radiation treatments. I called to God again for help, and again he provided. Our church family there was absolutely great. And a month after that, we had another tough incident to face, and then we decided to go out on a limb of faith to move closer to family here in Prince George. So we moved here to Prince George and had to trust God to provide a job for Rolf and a home for the rest of us. God provided. Then to top off that year, Rolf had his first kidney stone attack. Tough year, but God was with us. I was a stay-at-home mom, and we had one more beautiful daughter here in Prince George. Having children and now grandchildren is such a blessing and requires so much prayer and faith. Once the kids were in school, I went back to work and was blessed to get work at Cedars. Matthew 9:24 says, Faith is not stored away. It is the constant process of daily renewing our trust in God. It's easy to trust God when things are going well, but that's when God's blessings are really easy to take for granted as well. We face several more health challenges and the passing of my father-in-law. I vividly remember the day I was sitting in the grade 3 classroom at Cedars thinking, God is so good. And I was working with two amazing teachers at the time who were just such prayer warriors. And I started to pray that after that, sitting there in the classroom. And I asked God to challenge me and increase my faith. What a shock when he asked me, even if it means giving back one of your children? Immediately I responded, No, God, I take that prayer right back. Moments later, I thanked God for the gift of each of my children, and I had to say, your will be done, as I submitted my will. Approximately 2 months later, while vacationing in Manitoba with my daughter and her friend, I got the call. Our son was missing and presumed drowned in the Northwest Territories. He was a fishing guide there. Psychiatrists call my prayer a premonition. English teachers call it foreshadowing. Others call it a coincidence, but I call it God preparing my mother heart into a deeper walk of faith. I did, however, blame myself for a while for Aaron's passing, but a really good friend of mine assured me God doesn't work that way. Once reality hit, came the question, why? As like Job, that question has never been answered, but assurance and hope in God continue. When I realized that Jesus' last question on the cross was, why have you forsaken me? That was so freeing to know that Jesus' last question was why. It's okay to ask why and to question God. I've been reading the book of Job lately, and the things he said to God, not many get away with. But God, just his response was just amazing. And Job never got the answer, but Job returned to his faith, or held his faith and got stronger. My faith continues to be challenged by health issues, the death of my brother-in-law, and simply living life in a sinful world. Today I'm here to become a member of the Westwood community. I am a person who desires to belong and to become a part of a community. Daily, my prayer is to become a better servant to others as Jesus was. And saying that, I want to find a place here to serve in this community and to be accountable to you in doing that. However, in return, I ask you to accept me into this community with patience as I discover my servant role here. Just want to leave a few verses with you from Job and tell you who my Jesus is. But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives and he will stand upon the earth at last. I will one day see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought. Jesus is my breath of life, my Savior and Redeemer, my Messiah, my Shepherd and Waymaker, my hope and joy, the perfect servant to follow, my vine I grow from, my bread, my teacher, my faith, my morning star. And the list goes on and on. Do you know my Jesus?
Lord, thank you so much for your servant. Thank you for the encouragement that she already has been to many of us, certainly to myself. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to guide and stretch the faith that she has been seeking to live out. May it be an encouragement and a challenge to each one. Lord, as she has desired to be a part of a body, a part of a family that walks alongside each other and holds one another accountable, we we pray that that would be true both ways. And so we just thank you so much for Joan, for Rolf, for their children, for their grandkids, for the witness that they have in our city and beyond. And we pray that that would continue to grow and to blossom as they walk a life of faithfulness to you. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you so much, Joan. And so Marlene, bless you.
Right. So nice to be here. It really is home. I was saying in first service, as we were driving to church, my kids and I were talking and realized we moved to Prince George in 83, so 37 years ago, and we started coming to Westwood. I was 23 years old, just married, no children, and life's a lot different now. Now I see my little grandkids running around here, and it's so much fun. Some of you know us because we have been part of this family for so long, but some of you are new, so you don't know us. But my husband Rob and I moved to Mongolia 18 years ago, and our children at that time were 7, 10, 12, 14, and 16. And now they're all grown, and they're all actually living back here in Prince George, which is a gift to us. And this picture right behind me is a picture of our yard in Mongolia. And if you have a gear in your yard, then chances are you're living in Mongolia, because not too many people have one of these in their yard. And, you know, there's many days I wake up and I still pinch myself. I'm like, do I really live this life? Like, I live on the other side of the world, and I live in a totally different culture, and I'm married to a farmer, and he wasn't a farmer when I married him. But this is our life. And, you know, I'm just so thankful for the last 18 years and the journey that we've been on. And I'm so thankful for you guys, because you have been our family from afar, and you've supported us, you've loved us, you've prayed for us, some of you have visited us, and it's wonderful. And, you know, today it's so wonderful to be here and share, because I get to share about God's faithfulness. And this is so much of our journey over these last 18 years. It's not our story, it's his story. And he's given us you as faithful friends, but he has also been faithful to us. So I'm just going to open in prayer, and then we'll dig in. So, faithful Father, that's who you are. And you're faithful over all the years of my life, but you're faithful to be here today in this place. You've brought us together, and you want to speak to us. So, Word of God, speak. Pour down like rain. Wash our eyes to see your majesty. And, be in this place. Let your Holy Spirit work. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when I was considering, I got to show you a picture before I do this. There's my good man. And he would love to be here. So since he's not here, I get to share. when I was thinking about what to share today, I wanted to share with you some lessons from the garden, because that's what we're doing. We live in northern Mongolia, and we have a gardening project. Rob's growing fruit trees and teaching people how to grow fruit trees, and that's our platform for being in the country. And we've honestly learned so many lessons about creation and about the Creator and how that all works together. And Rob is a passionate gardener, and he is a passionate lover of Jesus. And if you would sit around our table in Mongolia, you would get a sermon in the garden form almost every time. And so I'm using some of Rob's lessons that I've learned around the table from him and sharing them with you today. So we moved to, here we go. Sorry, I'm not very techy. We moved to this little town called Sukhbuttar. It's 7 kilometers from the Russian border. And we moved there 6 years ago. And it's an amazing community, because there's actually gardeners in our community. And if you don't know the history of Mongolia, that might not sound so unusual. But in Mongolia, it is a historically a nomadic culture, so people had livestock. They had camels and goats and sheep and cattle and horses, anything that could move, and they were nomads, and they moved anywhere from 2 to 8 times a year. And so you didn't grow anything because you can't plant anything if, like, a month later you're moving. But this particular town was a little more stable, and it was because it was by the Russian border, it had a lot of Russian influence. And so people actually learned to garden in this area. And so there's people that have gardens. And if you go through our neighborhood, the neighborhood that we live in is called the Herders District. That's actually the name of our district. And there's still lots of people that have cows and goats and sheep, and they walk by our house every day. This is right in front of our house, our, like, the lane in front of our house. So it is a herders district, but we also have gardeners. So if you walked around our neighborhood, typically you would see this, a yard that has a wooden fence and a little house inside. And if you walked around our neighborhood, you would look over the fences and you would say, well, that yard definitely has a gardener, because there's a really nice garden in there. And for me, when I walk around the neighborhood, I'm always checking out which yards have a good garden, because I'm like, I'm going to get to know that person and get some tips, because sometimes they know things that we don't know about the area, and they're good gardeners. And then there's some yards you walk past and you look over them and you're like, that yard definitely does not have a gardener, because the weeds are higher than the fence, and sometimes you can hardly see the house. So this is my first lesson from the garden. If there's a garden, there is a gardener. So I live with a gardener, and Rob is actually amazing at what he does. It's been so fun to move up there and watch him grow in his gifting. He is a really good gardener. He's so intimate with everything, all the surroundings. He's watching the weather. He has his own weather station. He knows when the first frost is, when the last frost is. He knows when to graft. He knows when to transplant. He's just good at knowing that. And he knows. But the lesson that we're learning is that God is a good gardener. And God knows. Let me say that again. God is a good gardener. And he knows. Do we believe it? Do I believe it? When he's uprooting me, and when he's transplanting me, and when I'm feeling a little too dry, and when I've been stuck in the shade a little too long, or when he's surrounding me with a bit of more manure than I want, or when he's pruning me again. I don't know about you, but I think as humans we're pretty inclined to give the gardener suggestions on what he should be doing in our garden, and we don't really want his plan. This is my gardener. And this is our garden. And this is Romans. Romans 9, verse 20 says, "Who are you, a mere human being, to argue with God? Should the thing that was created say to the one who created it, 'Why have you made me like this?' Or 'Why are you pruning me like this?' Or 'Why are you transplanting me over here in Mongolia, where I still struggle with language and culture?'" The reality is, he knows. He knows what he's doing. And verse 23 of Romans 9 says, "He does this to make the riches of his glory shine even brighter on those whom he shows mercy, who were prepared in advance for glory." It's his garden, and it's for his glory. We need to figure out pretty quick in our lives that we have to fit into his plan, and not that we ask him to fit into our plan. This is Ephesians 1, verse 4 to 14, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but I highlighted some things there, because I just think this passage is so good, because it goes over and over again about he chooses us, he predestined us, he chooses us, he chooses us, he marks us, and he does it, why? It says, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory. This is what we're about. He's the gardener, we're the garden, and we're to the praise of his glory. I'm just going to emphasize verse 11, because verse 11 says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. He has a plan, and he has a will. I'm just going to share a story from this last summer where I didn't really like his plan, and I thought he was messing things up, but he had a bigger plan. So we decided to take a short trip to China in June to visit our son Joel and his wife Stephanie and our three grandkids before they left Asia. And we made this whole plan, and we planned our trip. We had a short window of 1 week that we could do it in. And so we went down to the capital city of Ulaanbaatar to get our visas from the Chinese embassy. And we were going to pick them up on the Friday, and we were going to fly out Saturday morning. And long story short, the Chinese embassy messed up our visa, and we couldn't leave. So we had to pay more money. We had to rebook our tickets. We had to shorten our trip. And I was not very happy with this plan. And I kind of grumbled for a good part of the weekend. And then on Sunday, God got a hold of my heart, and I just felt like God said, lean into this, I've got something. And I turned to Rob and I said, I don't think that a good God would mess up our plans to go visit our kids and grandkids unless he's doing something else. And sure enough, God was, because on Monday, when we had to go back to the Chinese embassy to get the visa, we're standing in line, and we had a little conversation with a French couple that was touring in Mongolia. And in our conversation, Rob happened to mention that we have a farm up in northern Mongolia. And they said to us, oh, when we came to Mongolia, we wanted to come and work on a farm, but it didn't work out. Would we be able to come visit your farm? So we said, sure enough, after we come back from China, you know, if you're still interested, contact us. And they did. And they came to our farm, and they came there for 4 days and worked with us. And we had just an amazing conversation with this young couple. And the day they were leaving, the wife said to us, she said, as a child, I had a faith, and I've totally thrown that away and walked away from it. But she said, after being at your house for 4 days, God's rekindled my faith. And I thought, wow, God, you messed up our plan and changed our plans for leaving for China, but you had this couple in mind that we would have never met, and he had a big plan. Right now, we're kind of leaning into it again, because we came back to Canada, or I came back to Canada, because March 14th is my husband's, my mother-in-law, so my husband's mom's memorial. She passed away this January, and we're supposed to come back for the memorial, and I just decided to come back a couple weeks early so I could have time with my kids and grandkids. And 3 days after I left, they basically closed the country of Mongolia down. So Rob is not going to be able to fly out for his mom's memorial at this point, unless there's a miracle. It's one of those things. We're trying to lean in. God's in control. There's so much that we are not in control of. And I think we have this false illusion that we have control over life, but we don't. But there is a good gardener that does. Well, let's go on. I could keep talking on that one alone, but here's my next lesson. Okay, I got to find my page. Okay, I'm on the wrong page. Sorry, folks. Okay, our first point was if there's a garden, there's a gardener. Our second point is that the gardener wants variety and the gardener wants you. Since moving to Sukhbata, Rob has been studying and trying to put in permaculture practices, which basically means he's trying to line up with doing gardening like the real gardener, the creator, does. And one of the things that God has designed is variety. And variety, having variety and diversity, is one of the principles of permaculture. Don't you love this picture? This is a picture from my yard that a friend took when they were there. And I love all the color in this picture. And I always think this picture is such a good illustration of variety, because what if all the clothing on the line was red? And what if all the flowers in my flower bed were the same color and the same size and the same shape? It would not be the same picture, would it? And this is the reality. We are created for variety. God created variety. I recently read this quote by C.S. Lewis, which I love. It says, "The more we get what we call ourselves out of the way and let him take us over, the more truly ourselves we become." There is so much of him that millions and millions of little Christs, all different, will still be too few to express him fully. He made them all. He invented, as an author invents characters in a novel, all the different men that you and I were intended to be. In that sense, our real selves are all waiting for us in him. He intended us to be who he made us to be. He made us all, and he made us all different. But that would be so he could express his glory to the world. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we could do the good things that he planned for us long ago." You are his plan A. This is the lesson that God's been hammering into me this year. Me, Marlene, scattered, kind of ADD, and still messy after 60 years of life, me and all my messiness, I am his plan A. And you are his plan A. And you are his plan A. And you are his plan A. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are his plan A." We don't really get to choose who we are. If you're in the garden, you don't really decide if you're the tomato or the carrot or the raspberry or the apple tree or the grapevine. You just, you are who you are. And we don't get to choose if we're the nice, bright, red, juicy, crispy, yum eating apple, or whether we're that small, mealy, maybe make it into applesauce apple. Sometimes that's who I feel I am. But, you know, that's the thing that God's hammered into me this year, is that he loves me. He actually likes me. He wants me. He chooses me in all my incompleteness, in all my messiness, because it's not about me. It's about him. And the more that I actually fully live out who I'm created to be, the more I actually give glory to him. This is one of my favorite quotes by Irenaeus. It says, "The glory of God is man fully alive." The more fully alive you are in who you are, the more you're going to give glory to God. I'm going to do a little plug here for my son, Joel. Joel has been running a course called Living by Design, and if you haven't taken it, take it. The more we discover how God designed us, how he created us, the more we can walk in who we really are, the more we're going to give glory to him. Well, on one side, we love diversity. But if we're honest, sometimes we wish we were a monocultural apple orchard because we don't really like those plums over there that are in our garden. And this is the challenge of diversity. This is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 27. And I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but I just highlighted a few things because in here, God talks about how there are many parts, many parts, many parts. Do you get that? And it says, and if God has placed, I can't even read it here, if God has placed each part in the body just as he wanted it to be, many parts. He's put us together, many parts, right? You see a theme there? Many parts. That means many different parts that we don't always like. My friend recently sent me a whole bunch of Christian pickup lines, and they were pretty funny, and I could tell you all of them, but I'm only going to tell you one because I like this one. It says, "You and me, we are loaves and fishes. We might make a miracle together." So it's a pickup line, but for me it's a lifeline because Rob is a loaf and I'm a fish. And every day is a miracle. So, I think, well, Rob and I, we really love each other, but we are so different from each other. I think, wow, it's a miracle we ever got together and that we can still stay together. And yet the diversity of who Rob is and who I am, somehow that mix, even though we drive each other crazy many days, is what God planned and he's using, and it's to his glory, right? So I just think this is the thing that I really want to encourage you. We have to embrace diversity. First, we have to embrace ourselves and believe that we really are plan A. God made us exactly how he wanted us. He intended us to be that way with all our quirkiness. And we have to also believe that our neighbor is plan A. We have to accept them for who they are. And all of it is not for our glory, it's for his. Well, lesson three, the importance or the rootstock is important. So one of the things that Rob does in Mongolia is he's trying to develop new fruit varieties. And he has really literally grafted thousands of trees. And why has he done that? Why has he grafted thousands of trees? Largely because Mongolia is one of the harshest climates in the world. It's a cold, dry, landlocked country with the most southerly permafrost and the most northerly desert in the world. And a lot of trees, if you took a tree, just an apple tree from Canada and tried to plant it there, it would not survive. The only way it survives is Rob takes a wild apple tree that grows in Mongolia and he grafts the tree from Canada onto the rootstock of the Mongolian tree, and the hardiness of that rootstock allows that tree to grow. This is Rob grafting, and Rob grafting again. He's a good gardener. Colossians 2, verse 7 says, plant your roots in Christ and let him be the foundation for your life. God wants to be the rootstock that your life gets strength from. In the same way that we're rooted and grounded in Jesus, we have the hardiness to survive and thrive in the storms and hardships that life regularly sends our way. The trees that Rob's grafting in Mongolia, they would not survive if they didn't have the rootstock. We are not going to survive unless we're rooted and grounded in him. It's interesting watching Rob graft because he does two different kinds of grafting. There's bud grafting and there's branch grafting. And you do them at different times of the year. So branch grafting, he basically takes this branch that he's been storing in the refrigerator out, and they look like dead branches, and he grafts that on. He grafts this dead-looking branch onto this live tree, and it grows. The other grafting he does is a bud grafting, which to me is even more amazing because it's just like this tiny little bud. And the same thing, it looks just like this little dead thing. And he grafts it in. And it looks like it's not going to do anything. And out of that, a branch grows. And then eventually leaves come out. And eventually blossoms happen. And eventually there's actually even fruit. And he does that because as a gardener, he sees the potential in that little bud or that little dead branch. And as we get grafted in to him, the same thing happens in our lives. This is John 15, verse 4 through 8. And again, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm just emphasizing, remain in me, remain in me, remain in me, remain in me. And if you remain in him, that's what's going to bring great glory to the Father. That branch that Rob grafts in, if it didn't have the sap of the rootstock coming up into it, it would be a dead branch. It's the sap that comes up from the rootstock that then flows into that branch that then produces the leaf and the blossom and the fruit. And as God's Spirit comes up in our lives and as we remain in him, we stay grafted into him, he does produce fruit in our lives. He produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All these things are the fruit. And I don't know about you, but I don't really have a lot of this fruit on my own. But as I've been grafted in and as I remain in Jesus, he's doing this in me. I've seen it in my own life, but I've also seen it in the lives of many Mongolian friends and many Canadian friends too. But we live in Mongolia and we're in this little town in Mongolia, and I've just seen Jesus transform lives. And that's why I'm still there. This is a picture of some of the people from our little church, and I could tell you a story about each person in this picture, like God is transforming their lives. And I just want to share one story, because this is Bimba. So Bimba came to our church 6 years ago, and when she came to our church 6 years ago, she was a mess. She was, she's a mother of five children, and she basically abandoned her children. They were living by themselves in a little gare. Basically starving to death. She was living on the street. She was drinking heavily. She had a reputation of beating up anybody, even the men in the community. And she was just not a nice lady. But someone invited her to our church. And the first weeks that she came to our church, I remember her just sitting in the back with this hardened face. And I just thought, wow, how is this lady ever going to change? But you know what? The love of that church and the love of Jesus melted her heart. And she is a different woman. She loves Jesus. And she is displaying the fruit of Jesus in her life. And she is now one of our church leaders. And she is probably the number one evangelist in our town. Like, she just tells everybody about Jesus. And she's got grand plans for actually planting a new church on the other side of our town. There's a really poor community where there's no churches. And she's already been starting like a youth program in that area. And she just evangelizes. So this is what happens, because she's grafted into Jesus and the Spirit of God is alive and working her life. Well, I'm going to wrap it up, and then I just think it's good for us, like, we can hear these things, but now let's ask some questions about these things. So, my first point in this whole thing was, my first lesson was that if there's a garden, there's a gardener, and I just think I want you to ask yourself, do I really believe? Do I believe that he's a good gardener? And can I trust him right now? You guys all know what storms in your life, or what he's doing in your life, what he's pruning in your life or uprooting in your life, or what manure he's throwing on you. And are you willing to submit to his plan? The gardener also wants variety, and the gardener wants you. So do you believe? Do you believe that you're his plan A? And do you believe that your neighbor or your friend or your family member are also his plan A? And the gardener wants variety. Oh, that's one. And the rootstock is important. That was my next one. And yeah, I think I just want to ask you, are you grafted in? Maybe some of you, this might be your first time in a church, and you don't even know what this is all about. But I'm just saying, check it out. Get to know this gardener and get connected with him. So are you grafted in? Are you, if you've been part of, if you're, been a believer for a long time or been part of this church for a long time, you're in, but are you still remaining in? Are you still leaning into him? And are you living out of his strength and not your own? Wow, what a privilege to be here and to share these stories. And you know what? If you have the time and the money, you could come to Mongolia and sit around our table and get some more lessons from the gardener himself, Rob. I just want to close in prayer, and I'm going to pray a prayer over you, actually, from Paul. So this prayer is out of Ephesians 1:17-19, and this is really my prayer over all of you. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know him better, that you would trust him to be the good gardener of your life. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, that you would know together that you are plan A, and that you would know his incomparably great power for all who believe, that his spirit would empower you to withstand the storms of your life and would flow in and through you and make you fruitful for his glory. Amen.